It's back again. We thought it was dead, but it's back. It always comes back.
To this Potoween. Sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe when it's Potoween, I should do something spookier than, oh, hey, everybody! But then I don't think of it till it's too late, and then I don't do it. And because also it's like, well, if I was going to do that, shouldn't it be like every single one should be like, ooh, spookins! Here we are! Boo! And so if I don't do it sometimes, does it lose all meaning if I miss sometimes? Anyway, that's me, though. Perfectionist, as you know. Today's episode, we're going to talk about a spooky movie. But that it was spooky for a reason that you might not expect. This is probably stretching the definition of horror in a way. So, Poonmaster Flex and I watched a movie called Saturday the 14th, which I guess is kind of like a movie like Airplane or Spaceballs or one of these parody type movies, but a horror movie, which kind of makes sense, right? I guess they did that again later with Scary Movie. This was like more classic monsters and shit, though. Your Draculas, your Frankensteins, your Wolfmans. But it wasn't, like, as hardcore visual gags or funny. It's almost like sometimes when you're watching it, sometimes, you know how you're watching this movie and everyone's saying, Pete, never even fucking heard of this movie. It's out on a beautiful Blu-ray transfer that you would swear is ripped straight from, I don't know, have they ever put before Laserdisc, was there ever, like, a vinyl version of a movie? Because that's about what I would say the quality looked like, in my personal opinion. It's ripped to a beautiful Blu-ray. I think it's like been on and off as well, like available on streaming. This is the thing about streaming too, right? Is you're like, oh, I'd like to recommend this movie. But it's like, well, unless it's a Netflix or Amazon made movie, you can't really guarantee it's going to be on either of those, right? You're just kind of like, oh, I don't fucking know. But I think it's been on and off. Anyway, the most famous person in it, I would say, is Jeffrey Tambor, who I know is the dad from Arrested Development. And I think he was a Me Too guy? I don't really know. He's Draculia. This family moves into a house, and there's a spooky book in the house. So I guess maybe a little Evil Dead-ish, too, and if you open the book, basically a monster comes out of the book. Which is sort of like, well, this seems like a really inefficient and stupid way to store these monsters, because it's just like, well, it's efficient. I should take that back. Storing a bunch of monsters in a physical book is a pretty goddamn efficient system. But it seems impractical if it's like, well, I don't want these monsters to get out when I don't want them out. Because, boy, does that get me thinking as, you know, person watching this movie, like, well, what's to prevent just some idiot, like happens in the movie, from opening the book and finding it? So this happens, you know, and this is a classic movie of its time, which is, it's a very nuclear family, right? Two parents, son and daughter. I think there's a dog. I don't even remember if there's a dog, but that doesn't really matter, does it? I'm like 99% sure there's a dog. Basically, you never remember there's a dog in a movie unless something horrific happens to it, or it's the focus of the movie. But a movie of that time, you can pretty much count on a dog. We just watched The River Wild, which is like has a dog in it that, you know, is like... This was definitely the time of, like, let's threaten the dog. And then it's like, but then let's also kind of have the dog save the day. Meryl Streep sort of saves the day, but sort of doesn't. It's pretty weird. It's like she's the best expertest rafter of all time. So that, in one way, saves the day. But in another, more accurate way, she kind of fucked it up. Also, there's so... The River Wild is like about... This isn't really what this podcast is about, is it? Eh, fuck it. I mean, who cares? Do I have to be on task? Is that what's going on here? I'm in the car. I've got like an hour to kill. So let's not rush anything. The longer this takes, the better for me. So The River Wild is basically Meryl Streep, her husband and son are going rafting. And her son is like her asshole son, who's the kid from Jurassic Park, who's like, he's actually not that bad, but he's really pissy with his dad. They're both really pissy with the dad, because the dad is like, I can't go rafting, I have to work. And they're like, ugh, 3 years in a row you've done this to us. And so then he, like, charters a plane and gets out there and does that. But he does bring some of his work, which is apparently architectural drawings or something. He's like, well, I brought work with me, so I'll have to do some work. And they stop one night, and Meryl Streep is teaching the son how to fly fish. And the dad's, like, doing work, and... So they have a fight in the tent that's basically like, maybe tomorrow you could, you know, at least act like you're interested in being on this trip with us and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I have work to do. I told you that. And she's like, well, I guess I don't care. I don't know. You're being a terrible father. And I was just like, good thing they had this fight on the trip. Like, that's much better. Nothing like a camping trip to really bring out the problems people have with each other. But I'm sort of like, the dude fucking came pretty goddamn far to take you on this raft, or to be on this rafting trip with the family, and it's like, hey, I don't know, maybe he had to bring some work, and it's like, whatever. So then Kevin Bacon and these other assholes, a thin John C. Reilly, who at one point I think someone calls him a fat ass or something, which I was like, well, I guess that's 1994 fat. Apparently that's, what qualify, you know, John C. Reilly has it tough because he's always been fat, even when he wasn't fat. You see him and you're like, oh, he's pretty thin. He's like a young man. But then I guess even then they were like, no, that counts as fat back then. Sorry, buddy. They sort of go along with the family for a little while because they're inexperienced or whatever, and Meryl Streep's helping them out. Which there's this hilarious sequence, because it's sort of like, they're on this family trip, they're all pissed with the dad because he's not, like, hanging with the family, but then it's like, these two strangers come along, and everyone's hanging out with them, and the dad's kind of like, what the fuck? But, you know, it's like, whatever, fair's fair. But then there's a point where Meryl Streep is supposedly teaching Kevin Bacon how to fly fish, and he's completely shirtless, and she's, like, standing behind him, standing spooning him. You know, the way, you know how, like, in a movie, a guy will teach a lady how to play pool, and basically it's so he can put his crotch in her butt? That's basically what's happening. And there's really no necessity for Kevin Bacon to be topless, because nobody else is topless. And, you know, the dad's kind of watching this and is, like, not real thrilled. But everybody else just kind of seems like, oh, relax, it's fine. Like, he confronts Meryl Streep about it, and she's basically like, oh, geez, you're being such a, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, is this, like, an open marriage that I was not aware of? Is there, like, another element to the River Wild here that I was not made privy to? Because that seems like a line to me. I think if I came upon Poon Master Flex standing behind a guy, whether or not he was a stranger or a known entity, showing him how to fly fish and he doesn't have a shirt on, I think I'd be like, well, A, do you have to stand up spoon him? Is that the only way to do this? And B, did he have to not have a shirt on while you did that? This is suspicious to me. And also, I think I would just be like, listen, as a man, let me speak to you as a man to a woman. Perhaps it is within your emotional ability, physical ability, to do what you're doing and have no sort of feelings or romantic inclination or whatever. I promise you that that is not within his ability or desires. Plus, this is when Meryl Streep was like a young filly. She was relevant. That's my Meryl Streep joke that I kept making throughout the movie, was that she was young and attractive and therefore relevant during that movie. One of her most relevant roles. But this joke, by the way, did not go over well with Poon Master Flex, but is also why it kind of had to happen. You know? If it's like, the joke's not going to go well, I'm like, well, I'm more motivated than ever. Now I want to see how not well it can go. So anyway, back to Saturday the 14th. I don't know how that got it. Oh, the dog. I couldn't remember if there was a dog. There's probably a dog. Who the fuck knows? They move into this spooky house, and it has a spooky book, and it was like Dracula and his wife were going to buy it, but I think they inherited it from a dead aunt or something like that. You know, and they move in, and they're like, oh, we'll spruce up the place. And then basically, it seems like whoever made Saturday the 14th had a bunch of little horror things, a bunch of little scenes they wanted to do, but had no idea how to create, like, a coherent plot that would carry the story through these different setups. So, you know, at one point, it's like the kid goes in the kitchen at night, and it's like the monsters are all, like, having a crazy dinner party where they're just, like, raiding the fridge and the cabinets and making a huge mess and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything. The mom becomes a vampire. I think Dracula bites her? I'm not really sure how that happened. I don't even remember. It doesn't really matter. The point is, she's a vampire, so there's some jokes about, you know, the light and, like, the doofy dad, like, throwing open the curtains and being like, what a lovely day! And the mom is like, ah! Shit like that. A Van Helsing shows up at one point. He works at, like, I don't know, an exterminator's or something, and so they call him in because they think that whatever's happening with all the monsters is really bugs or something. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. It's insane. The kid, like, has a fight with a monster and breaks a window, and then, like, also, he, like, hits the monster with the book or, like, shows the book to the monster or something, and that causes the monster to, like, vanish back into the book. And this happens, like, 15 minutes into the movie, so you're like, oh, well, he already kind of discovered how to take care of the monsters, I guess. But then he doesn't seem able to do that anymore for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, but here's where the movie gets real spooky. It's still being silly, but what's happening is the daughter is taking a bath. And this is a very classic combination of a couple things. It's like, you know, when, what's her name, Nancy, takes a bath in Nightmare on Elm Street, right? And she's, like, falling asleep, and then Freddy's glove basically comes up right near her crotch. It's that classic Nightmare on Elm Street moment. But then also Jaws, because basically she's in the bathtub, and there's, like, a shark fin going around. But here's the thing, and it wasn't, like, terrifying. Here's what was terrifying. It was a tense moment. High tension. As I'm watching this movie, I'm watching the family run around, And early on in the movie, I was like, this is kind of a deviation from the formula, because normally, one of these two kids, you know, the son looks like he's in, I don't know, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. And the daughter looks like she's maybe 14 at the oldest. Could be 12, right? She looks exceptionally young. And I was like, it's weird that neither of these kids is like the older, you know, in this scenario, like the kid finds the book, the monsters are coming out. And then his older sister's like, well, whatever, shithead, and doesn't believe him, but then sees something and then does believe him. And then, you know, you have the older sister who has some kind of resources or whatever that help with this problem. So then the kids kind of end up teaming up. You know that classic setup? But the kids are very close in age, which is realistic in its own way. But this is a movie that is totally not concerned with realism. And again, it's like super silly. I mean, there's a scene where they're talking and the dad is basically making the ultimate Dagwood sandwich in the kitchen. And he's just putting shit on this sandwich that doesn't even go on a sandwich. You know what I mean? Just like whole slabs of Spam and then like pouring cereal on top of it and doing all this crap and then just making a giant sandwich that he takes like a big bite out of. But just crazy. I mean, peanut butter on a BLT on a this and just nuts. So this is the kind of movie we're in. And then I was like, this daughter's getting in the bath. And I was like, and this sort of is like where in a normal horror movie you'd be like, I think I'm about to see some brief nudity, as I was warned about at the beginning of most horror movies. But when you're watching this movie, you're like, no, I really hope that's not what's happening here. And she gets in the bathtub in like a weird way. I can't really remember how this happened, but she gets in the bathtub in such a way that like maybe it just shows the towel falling at her feet or something, and she gets in and you're like, okay. Crisis averted there. And then, you know, the shark thing is happening, and then it turns out there's like a sea monster in the tub. And so then she's scared and like splashing around and stuff. And when she's splashing around and scared, again, I was like, I think I'm about to see an underage person topless in this movie, which is not what I expected from this movie, to be honest. I mean, I don't really expect that from any movie. But it's like, if you're going to have a topless underage person, doesn't that have to be a movie like some kind of Oscar contender movie or something? Like, isn't that the only time? It seems to be like that's okay in that. It's like in Titanic. What's-her-face could be topless, but it was like, eh, it's okay. This is like a real movie. Saturday the 14th is not a real movie. I mean, it's not like a fucking... It's not a movie that you're like, you know what? If you get naked in this movie... I think that can only help your career. Can only be good. So anyway, it's like happening. So then she's like getting out of the bathtub and you're like, okay, they did a situation where they had like bubble bath and the bubbles are coating her. And it's obvious there's like also clothing underneath that. So you're like, okay, well that's good. I'm not accidentally going to see something. But this goes on and on for a long time. And then eventually it's like something happens and she passes out. And so the brother is putting her back in the bath after she's passed out so that I guess she'll wake up in the bath and just think that she'd never gotten out or she had a horrible nightmare or something. And I was like, oh, my God, how is this going to work? This is impossible. But he just throws her in with the towel on. So the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking like, I saw a lot more of this underage person than I ever intended or desired. And it was fucking weird. And it was the most intense horror movie scene I've seen in a long time, but not for any of the reasons it meant to. You know, I saw It Chapter 2, right? And it's got like some spook-em-ups and whatever. And this was like so intense, but in a completely different way. Because basically, it's like, imagine It Chapter 2, and you're like, boy, I think these kids are awfully young. And then you're like, I think I'm about to see this kid's naked ass. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I feel like that's necessary. Is that necessary to this movie? Does it really fit in with this movie? I'm not so sure. Like, the little fat kid gets completely naked, and you're just like, ah, boy. I don't know. It's like that, but much worse. Because you're like, this isn't even a thing that people are aware of anymore. I don't know. But so horrified was I that I got on the Internet Movie Database because I was like, I have to find out. And it turns out that this girl was 20 years old when they filmed this movie. So she just looked crazy young. But turns out everything was on the up and up to an extent. I say to an extent because it's still a little weird, right? Because when you get down to it, I'm like, well, as far as I knew, I was still looking at an extremely young person and was very uncomfortable. And although it wasn't the case, I still, at the time, I was still uncomfortable. And you can't, like, just banish that feeling, right? That's not going to happen. So anyway, that's my tale of Saturday the 14th. Boogans. I hope you enjoyed that, I guess. Is that what I'm trying to say? I hope that was an amazing tale for you. Because holy Christ, it was a pretty amazing tale for me. I'll tell you that right now. Pretty weird shit. So there you go. There's a Potoween episode. I almost said Halloween. I don't even know what my own thing is called. See you tomorrow.
9-1-1. Now you're Steve Frodo. He numbers Velocity. The Velocity.